if you will please stand now and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And then after that, I'm going to read 1 John 5, 14 through 15. But first, beginning in Matthew chapter 6. Then after we're done and done reading and you're seated, I would ask that you also open up your hymnals, the Trinity Psalter hymnals. And we're going to look at question and answer 99 in the Shorter Catechism. But first, let's read God's Word, Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. This is God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. Please give it your full attention. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And now turn over to 1 John chapter 5. And beginning in verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. Thus far, the reading of God's word. You may be seated. And do go ahead and grab your Trinity Psalter hymnal. Turn to the Shorter Catechism, question and answer 99, which is on page 975. So recently we looked at question 98 and its answer. Tonight we're going to look at question 99 and its answer. And let me just read this for us and follow along as I do. So question 98 is, what is prayer? And the answer is, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will. In the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. And now question 99 asks, what rule hath God given for our direction in prayer? And the answer provided by our divines: the whole word of God is of use to direct us in prayer. But the special rule of direction is that form of prayer which Christ taught his disciples, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Now the 99th Shorter Catechism question, as we just recognize, is leading us to what rule there is directing us in our prayer lives. And really the answer to that question is the whole Bible. The whole Bible directs us in how we pray. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it tells us, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, I went ahead and read that previous catechism question and answer, which tells us that we are to pray for things agreeable to his will, things agreeable to God's will. Well, how do we know the will of God? It is in the scriptures. It is in the word of God. That is his revealed will. The Bible is the revealed will of God. So if we want to know how to pray, we need to know God's word. Now, of course, the Lord taught us how to pray in a direct fashion in what is often called the Lord's Prayer. We pray that prayer every Lord's Day in our morning service. But even beyond the Lord's Prayer, the whole Bible teaches us how to pray. In fact, all of the petitions in the Lord's Prayer can be found in prayers from the Old Testament, or even prayers found from the New Testament. Let's just go through those petitions that we have in the Lord's Prayer and see how we find those all throughout Scripture. In the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray for the Father's name to be hallowed. And we learn this very thing from the seraphim in Isaiah chapter 6, when they cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The 113th Psalm says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And so we see here in both of these passages, the petition, the first petition that Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. Now, the second petition asked for God's kingdom to come. And the psalmist in chapter 72, verses 6 and following, says, "May he," that is the King of glory, "may he come down like rain upon the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish in abundance of peace till the moon is no more. May he also rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." Well, this is, of course, a prayer for the kingdom of God to come in King Jesus. Or I could put it in other words, it is a prayer for the reign of his kingdom to be extended throughout the earth. Well, how about Solomon's prayer in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 43, which brings together both the hallowing of God's name and his kingdom coming? Solomon prays, "Hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and that you may know that this house that I have built is called by your name." So a calling upon the Lord's name, hallowing his name, and also that all the peoples of the nations, all the peoples of the earth may know that name and fear our God. So it's a calling for God's kingdom to come and to extend unto the ends of the earth. Solomon is asking for God's name to be made prominent all throughout the earth as God comes to reside in the temple that Solomon had built for him. To state it differently, as God's kingdom was being established in the Old Testament or in the Old Covenant, Solomon prays for that kingdom to expand throughout the world so that God's name will be hallowed. Moving on to the third petition, Jesus teaches us there to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the psalmist in chapter 143, verse 10 says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground." And so we are to learn to do God's will here on earth as it is in heaven. In the fourth petition, Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily bread. And in conjunction with this prayer, we find Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8, which asks, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me." Moving on to the fifth petition, we are to ask for forgiveness, the forgiveness of our sins. This type of prayer is actually very prevalent in the Old Testament, in the penitential Psalms, among other places. But listen to Daniel's prayer in Daniel chapter 9. I would encourage you actually to turn there because the prayer is rather lengthy. I think it would be helpful to you to follow along as I read this prayer. But listen to Daniel pray for the forgiveness of sins. Daniel chapter 9, and beginning in verse 3. "Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking Him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, 'O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from Your commandments and rules. We have not listened to Your servants, the prophets, who spoke in Your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. To You, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us open shame, as at this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those who are near and those who are far away, in all the lands to which You have driven them, because of the treachery that they have committed against You. To us, O Lord, belongs open shame, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against You. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against Him and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in His laws, which He set before us by His servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed Your law and turned aside, refusing to obey Your voice. And the curse and oath that are written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us, because we have sinned against Him. He has confirmed His word, which He spoke against us and against our rulers who ruled us, by bringing upon us a great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like what has been done against Jerusalem. And it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us. Yet we have not entreated the favor of the Lord our God, turning from our iniquities and gaining insight by Your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept ready the calamity and has brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works that He has done, and we have not obeyed His voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought Your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and have made a name for Yourself, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all Your righteous acts, let Your anger and Your wrath turn away from Your city Jerusalem, Your holy hill, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and Your people have become a byword among all who are around us. Now, therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of Your servant and to his pleas for mercy. And for Your own sake, O Lord, make Your face to shine upon Your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline Your ear and hear. Open Your eyes and see our desolations in the city that is called by Your name. For we do not present our pleas before You because of our righteousness, but because of Your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. And there is a whole lot that we can learn from this prayer of confession. And we'll be going through the Lord's Prayer, the Lord helping us over the next few weeks. And we will indeed look at how Jesus teaches us to pray for the confession of our sins. Confessing our sins and for the forgiveness of our sins. But moving on to the sixth petition, we are to pray, lead me not into temptation. And Jeremiah asks the Lord, correct me, O Lord, but in justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. Jeremiah 10:24. You see, he asks for the Lord to correct him. By correcting us, our Lord leads us away from temptation. For we learn how to resist rather than to fall into temptation when the Lord corrects us. Again, God's word corrects us. It teaches us. It rebukes us when necessary, that we might know how to resist and not fall into temptation. And in this petition also, we are to ask for the Lord to deliver us from evil or from the evil one. And the 59th Psalm states, deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Protect me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from those who work evil and save me from bloodthirsty men. So we see all of the petitions that our Lord asks us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. We find them all throughout Scripture. Jesus was teaching us how to pray. He was taking all of Scripture and showing us how we might come before our Father in heaven and pray to Him. It is a model prayer. But we see that the whole Bible is teaching us to pray the very thing that Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. Now, much of those prayers were the prayers of individuals, whether the psalmist or Daniel or others. But it's not only the prayers of individuals in the Bible that teach us how to pray. The Bible in all its parts aids our prayer life. The historical writings of the Bible give us an account of God's providences towards His people, and these help us to know how to pray. We have instances of the church's increase and perseverance that help us to pray in times of both prosperity and persecution. But we also have the terrible sins that have been committed and God's wrath that was poured out upon those who committed them, such as the apostasy of the whole world at the flood, save Noah and his family, or the unnatural and abominable sins of Sodom, which brought them destruction. Or we can speak of the apostasy of Israel and her exile from the land. And it is these historical examples which help us to ask whether we have been guilty of sins such as these. Have we been guilty? Has the Church of God been guilty? Has Christ's Covenant Presbyterian Church been guilty of sins such as these? In fact, the erosion of our culture today seems to be similar many times to some of these sins listed in Scripture. And so it helps us to know how to pray for the church. It helps us to know how to pray for our nation and how to pray for the church universal. We also have the great confessions of many individuals who sinned. We read Daniel's prayer earlier, but also there is Nehemiah's prayer in chapter 1 of that book. And who could forget David's great confession in Psalm 51 when he sinned against the Lord with Bathsheba and had her husband murdered? These historical accounts tell us of God's dealings with his people so that we know how to pray for the removal of temptation, for the confession of sin, and for the perseverance of the church and of its increase as well. The history of redemption gives us much to aid us in our prayers. And the Bible also teaches us how to pray from a doctrinal standpoint. Without the knowledge of God and His ways, we cannot know how to pray rightly. When we understand the perfections, that is, the attributes of God, we learn how to praise Him and to give Him glory in our prayers. In fact, that is why our Sunday school class on the doctrine of God was so helpful recently, leading into our present Sunday school class on communion with God. You see, when we learn God's ways, when we know who He is, we know how to thank Him for being our covenant God and for all that He has done for us in redemptive history. But also we have the prophecies of Scripture. And many of those have already been fulfilled in Christ. But with respect to His return, the prophecies of Scripture tell us how to pray for the future. We know how to pray for God's will to be done as history moves forward. We are able to pray for God's covenant promises to be accomplished in His time and in His way. Now, we could go on and on with all the ways that the Bible aids us in our prayer lives. It truly is a directory for our prayers. However, the Lord did give us a model prayer to teach us directly on how to pray. If any of you have ever owned a model airplane or a model train or any type of model, you know that it's a smaller version of the real thing. But though it is a smaller version, it has all of the same parts. You put together all of the tiny, intricate parts of the model. And so it is with the Lord's Prayer. It's not the only prayer we can pray. In other words, we don't have to only pray these words every time we pray. It's not meant to be prayed word for word as if it is the only real prayer. It's not this any more than you are to fly on a model airplane. It is a shortened, condensed prayer that models for us all of the parts that we are to pray when we go to the Lord. Now, I'm not going to go into depth on this prayer tonight, since the next few weeks we will look at each of the petitions of this prayer. But in generally, let me say that there are six petitions in this prayer. The first petition is a request for the prominence of the Father's name. The second and third petitions is for the prosperity of His kingdom. The fourth petition requests the provision of God. The fifth and the sixth petition requests pardon and protection from sins. And then the Catechism also deals with the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, which we will discuss more when we get to that portion of it. But lastly, we might also mention the preface to the prayer, or what I would call the address of the prayer. And this might be the one thing in the prayer that we are not taught as strictly in the Old Testament, at least not to the degree that we learn it here in this prayer. I've mentioned this in the past, but for the most part, individual Israelites were not taught to address God as Father. Israel as a whole was considered a son of God, but no one individually spoke of God as their Father. It is not until we get to the New Testament that we are commanded to call God our Father. And this most certainly has to do with the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, the work that He came to accomplish. As the eternally begotten of the Father, the Son had come to pay for the debt of the sins that God's people were under. Through His shed blood, God's people were redeemed from their sins and can properly be called sons of God, having been adopted into the family of God. No one, whether Old or New Testament, comes to God aside from Jesus Christ, or apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. Those of faith in the Old Testament were saved, but salvation was not actually accomplished until Christ came and performed the work of salvation for us. They were saved because they looked to the one who was to accomplish their salvation. And now we look back to the one who accomplished it for us through His life, death, and resurrection, giving us the forgiveness of sins and preparing the way for us to enter into glory. As John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 says, He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. And so this model prayer, right from the very beginning, will teach us that we can only come to the Father through the Son, the Redeemer. We, beloved, are received into the family of God only by an act of God's free grace. And so when we trust in the work of the Son to save us from our sins, it is then that we have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. And only then are we able to cry out, Abba, Father, come before His throne. And so we thank God for the sprinkled blood of Jesus Christ upon the mercy seat in heaven, giving us access to the Father. To Him be all praise and glory, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You for allowing us to come to You, for giving us Your ear that we might lift our prayers before You. We thank You for Christ, our Savior, and our elder brother, who through Him we are adopted into the family, that we can be called Your children, and that we can call out to You as our Father. Lord, we also thank You for the work of the Spirit in our lives as well, who, when we know not what to pray and have not the words, yet the Spirit is interceding for us. And so, Lord, we give You thanks for the complete Trinitarian work of redemption that has made us Your children. Lord, we pray that You would increase our prayer lives, not only in quantity, but also in how we pray, that we might learn from your word and learn to pray in accordance with your will, that we might better praise and glorify you through our prayers, that we might better know how to pray all of the petitions that our Lord taught us in the model prayer of the Lord's Prayer. Lord, be with us, strengthen us, and prepare us for your return. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.